Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.byteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Bill Gehringswald. He is author of Infinite Possibilities, A Spiritual Awakening. This is a wholly unrestricted work by Bill, whose chief role in life has been to identify issues in companies and put them right. Infinite Possibilities is his attempt to do the same for the world. It is widely understood that this world of ours needs fixing, but there is a distinct lack of blueprints to follow. We've no need to say, God help us all anymore, because he has, by putting Bill Gehringswald's extensive experience in the business world to work and applying them to the planet that we live on. Infinite Possibilities is that blueprint. It is a one-man mission to change this world for the better. Bill is a retired would-be philosopher who uses the wisdom of God's guidance without leaning towards any particular religion. His book, Infinite Possibilities, focuses on finding a way through the turmoil that is life and making it better for everyone. You can purchase Bill's book from Amazon.com and from BooleyBooks.com. And I do have direct links to both locations, both websites, in the show page description. I'd like to welcome Bill to the show. Good day, Bill.
Hey, Robert. That was a heavy, heavy introduction, and it's just not a one person, it's a we person, and the whole book treats everything as a collective. It truly does. We're going to get into a Q&A, and I understand that, but I just would like to open with this statement. We've got change dynamics, as we well know, with this last presidential election. And it's caused me to basically do some rewrite. If Hillary were elected, the book pretty much would have been left alone. But now we've got a certain set of dynamics with an individual that promises change. He's going to clean out the swamp, and people have got to understand the swamp is far more than what we have been educated to, or led to believe. This book gets into the depth of our cause and effect and what we do with God and, in turn, what God does with us. Other than that, Bob, I'm going to turn this back over to you. I'm sorry about interjecting that, but I just want to get that out of the way.
No, I'm glad you did, because, you know, that's the one thing that I really like about your book is it's very current, very topical, you know, and of course, the challenge with that comes with keeping it up to date and current. And when we have such a unconventional world at the moment, it can be an extra challenge.
To say the least.
goodness.
But I'll tell you what, if we just look at the dynamics of what Rome went through and their building into their empire and then their decline over a 700-year period, if we're not careful, we're going to mirror those same steps. And there's a conflict now between different perceptions, different wants and needs, depending upon where we are wealth-wise. And there's some heavy hitters now that are in position where they're actually pulling strings behind the scenes. And this has got to be addressed if we're really serious about wanting world change and moving forward.
Yeah, what took them 700 years, we can probably do in four, I would think.
In today's world,
less.
Two, maybe seven on the outside.
Yeah, on the outside.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but you got to laugh at our current insanity in some ways. If not, you're going to get buried by it.
Well, you know, that's the one thing I'm as we get through, the conversation today is to, because we are not only our nation, but the world is facing some very serious issues, and we're not really at a fork in the road. We're at many forks in the road, and it's really hard to determine exactly which one will be taken.
Yes, it's very, very true. We've got to go as we're being led, and it's through our Creator. If we just as individuals follow as we're being led and get out of God's way, so much as possible, Robert.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's first start with the title, Infinite Possibilities. Why that title? What does that infer?
First of all, that encompasses just a tremendous open arena of all the things that we think about or do in life can move into just a new awareness and more productivity and just a higher sense of being. That's why I use infinite possibilities. There's a meteor that's on the book cover, and it's going through space. And we look at the stars and the heavens and whatever, and there's a greater being that's out there. And just tapping into that greater being and the understanding, the inner workings of that being or that source, as other people refer to God, God will open up a panorama of just unlimited potential. And that's what I meant by infinite possibilities.
Yeah. So now, first of all, if you wouldn't mind, give the listeners a little bit of your background. I kind of alluded a little bit to it in the introduction, but let's give them a sense of who Bill is and how the journey you've taken so far.
Surely. When I was a child growing up in the United States, I thought everything was going to be great. At that time, companies basically had a moral consciousness with their employees, and that was returned. I was originally going to be a school teacher, but because of economic pressures, my father died when I was 16. I helped my mother support my two younger brothers, so I learned work ethics early in my life doing that. But at that time, the school teacher's salary in Florida, I live in Central Florida, the starting salary for a school teacher was $6,873 a year, and that couldn't do it. So I ended up in pharmaceutical sales with Beecham Products, and I've worked for four major Fortune 500 companies in middle and upper management. I got tired of the corporate wars, the infighting and the positioning and the game playing and the politics that come with working for a large company. And I decided to go into business for myself, and I ended up as a business consultant. I've been involved in clothing in Hong Kong, New York, and negotiated what is called Petroman contracts, oil contracts in Zurich and also in London. So I've got some breadth and depth of understanding the oil industry. I was also involved in negotiating the sales of precious metals from that. But in the latter stages of my life, I got hit between the eyes with the hammer, and God does that to us at times when we're getting off track in our lives. And I started with another company in fundraising for nonprofit organizations. I've raised millions and millions of dollars for several different nonprofit orgs, and from that, in retirement, now I'm writing books and talking to a radio host.
Yep, that's quite a shift. I had such a very curvy journey as well, and being a radio host was not on my radar. But I think that's just
the
way it's in
the choir there. I'm sorry.
Sometimes that's just the way that it goes. You just never know where the road's going to lead, and many times it's there's a curve. And you just can't see what's up and coming, but as long as you keep walking, you're going to find something new, for sure.
You betcha. that happens. Everyone, all of your listeners are going through or have gone through life changes, and sometimes we're blindsided, and all of a sudden, our whole world is turned upside down, and it's all being done for a reason, and that's because God is shaping and molding us while we're here on this earth. Some of my friends believe we're on this earth to have a spiritual experience, but it's vice versa. It's God and the soul inside of us that's having a human experience. And when we do good in this world, when we're of service to others and help each other, I would have to believe that it would bring a smile. It's got to bring a smile to God's face. And then on the other side, when we shortcut the, or short-circuit the system, when we put money or greed or avarice or selfishness in front of that love, we start blocking out. So that's why we've got to go through some life corrections. The turmoil that we went through in 2008-2009 was a slap in the face. But we got hit harder back in 2001 with the attack that we suffered on 9/11. And that was kind of my wake-up call as a writer and as a person that's during the latter stages of my life.
Yeah, very much. Now, for the listeners, just to get an understanding of your book, and your book, you discuss God and his workings, in our lives, and up here, up front, and behind the scenes. Now, when you discuss the book, it's really you don't approach it from a dogmatic religious point of view.
No,
come at it from a spiritual one, correct?
Yes, you're 1,000% correct, Robert.
Yeah, and I just for the the sake of ease, referring to him as him, it's just so I just wanted the listeners to recognize that this is bigger than religion. This is really
huge.
Exactly. As far as the the belief in God, mm-hmm. you've talked about it. Now, can you tell us exactly, was this book God inspired, or what was the inspiration behind writing this particular book?
Every page, I go into a zone. As you know, when we're writing anything of length, we shut out the noise of the world. And in my case, I'm fortunate that over the years I've learned how to go into mental and emotional peace within a minute or so or mm-hmm. less. And I'm very fortunate to have learned how to do this. The process is shared in the book. But when you get in that mental zone, all of a sudden you start opening up your mind and your heart, and you're being influenced by God's presence. And every word used in this book has been influenced and written from the heart rather than the mind. It's because of God. But intellectually, I'm using my life experiences. I've dealt in multi-billion-dollar transactions during my lifetime, but I've also gone up and down the roller coaster financially, where I've been broke several times.
Mm-hmm.
I've been hurt by individuals in the business world that have put their own agendas ahead of the agendas of a group at large. And my heart has been broken many times off of that. So it's a combination of success and joy and happiness and smiling and also tears of sadness. And God has dealt with all of that.
It's life, really.
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely. But before I write each morning, even before I arise out of bed, I just turn the day over to God in prayer. And I pray that God will take care of all things and all matters during the day, that I will be guided in the words that I use and deal with any and all situations that are placed in my life. And I treat these things now as a life experience and things to be learned from. Even my conversation right now with you is a learning process. So I'm appreciating this,
Great. Well, I really appreciate reading your book. I mean, it was... it's a great food for thought, and it's one of those things where, once you read, and one of the things you mentioned in the book is that you begin each chapter, that it begins with a subliminal process leading to a higher dimension of thought. I mean, so
yes.
I would like for you to kind of explain that, because that is exactly the effect that it had on me, is that higher dimension of thought. So can you explain, what that is and, why that's good for us?
Sure. I've got several ways of answering this situation, Robert. If we went through a visualization, I think most of your listeners know what the surface of the moon looks like, what the surface of Mars looks like, and if not, they can go through the NASA website and look at that. But if you mentally just place yourself on the moon right now as an astronaut, and you're walking on the surface of the moon, and you're looking at each step that you're taking, and you see that puff of dust, it's like talcum powder just coming off of each step, and one of our astronauts came out one step for man and one large step for humankind. It's that type of a feeling, but you're on the surface of the moon. Now place yourself as an astronaut, a group of space travelers that have now landed on the surface of Mars. And on Mars, it's a red glow. It's a barren glow. It's a full desert. But you look up on the stars in the heavens and you see the twinkling of all the other solar systems, all the star systems that are above your head. And then you place yourself into a celestial being. And there's a wonderful picture called the Eye of God that was taken by NASA. And it's where the constellations formed a human eye in space. It's about 7.5 billion light years away from here. But picture that eye. And that's our creator. Now, understand that just in this short, brief period of time, I've walked you and the listeners through a travel that took us from here to 7.5 billion miles away. And I did that in a breath of thought. That is the dimension of our Creator. And when you put yourself into that type of realm of thought, we haven't been educated to do this, Robert, and that's the frustrating part. You know, it's a shame that I wish I had this knowledge when I was younger, because it would have developed a whole different path of understanding of our Creator and our Creator's unconditional love, because it's just magnanimous, absolutely magnanimous. But getting back to your question, each morning, excuse me, I'm losing my voice here. I'm going to do a politician's stab at a bottle of water here.
There you go. That's right.
But I do the same thing mentally. Mm-hmm. I just put myself in a realm of thought by going into a breathing session where I'm concentrating on each breath that comes into my body is the positives of the universe, and with each exhale, that is the problems and the dark side of what's in me that's being expelled to be just be gone, absolutely be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, I'm in communication, a mental connection with our Creator. I hope that I'm answering your question.
No, you do. You know, and see, the one thing that what I like about the idea of, you know, getting to that higher level of thought, you know, especially if you're doing it like you do in the morning, what it does is it just puts the life and day and your challenges and your activities into perspective. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, in the scheme of things, you know, these worries of the day, I mean, if I focus on them, it might be daunting, but no, if I'm looking at them from the Eye of God nebula for Mars, you know, it's nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, so with that, it seems that higher level of thought creates a more peaceful sense to be able to deal with or to maximize even the upcoming day's events.
You're exactly right. You know, if I had used some bullet points here, Robert, if we just understood we are what we empower, something that simple, we can either empower a good day or a bad day based upon our attitude and how we handle the challenge we have during that day. But also we've got to understand that we've got free will to choose, in this country anyway. And from what we choose, it really generates the life path and circumstances we experience in life. And then an attitude mm-hmm. change is just God receptiveness. Just if we just open and change or closed off all the negative stuff that we've learned, we've got to unlearn and redo, reprogram ourselves to understand that with a God receptiveness, all things are possible. And to do that, we've got to have emotional and mental silence, and we just discussed that. But that takes practice. It doesn't come automatically, and it doesn't come on demand. It's in God's time frame for us. And then once you're into that path, just follow as you're being led. The fact that you were led to write the book and have your radio station, and as I am in the latter stages of my life writing these types of books, we're going as we're being led, and we've become submissive in that. And it's not a bad
submissiveness.
There you go. There you go. Thanks. Yeah. But once that door is open, what happens in life, it either succeeds or it fails. If it fails, it means it's not being in God's will. And that's hard for us. Some people chase money and they chase things in life and they have all these toys, but yet they're miserable individuals. I know billionaires that are miserable, miserable souls. And they're all in affluence and whatever. You know, you look at Howard Hughes and dying in his misery, and here was probably the wealthiest man in the world at the time. But he died in seclusion and he lost his mind.
Right.
And it comes down to, you know, just you can go on and on and on with this stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things, you talk about, you know, some things fail. Now, you know, I've done the show and one of the most inspirational groups of people with whom I've spoken are those who have had challenges or fail things that, you know, have an apparent or apparent failing, but in hindsight and, you know, many times these end up being, you know, hidden treasures or hidden gems, things
without
that the
doubt.
Soul needed to learn, or not that needed to learn, but the soul wanted to experience and overcome and strengthen.
Man, you're talking to the choir on this one, Robert. I wish I had more people in my life that had that understanding. I truly do. It gets kind of lonely out here at times.
Well, just call me anytime. well, you know, and you know, that's the one thing, you know, we're kind of talking about, you know, in the beginning of the show, we talked a little bit about the world condition in our, you know, in our nation. And there seems to be a very intense divisiveness, you know, that is kind of permeating our lives, you know, every day and in constant. So now with, you know, infinite possibilities, you know, what would you, you know, and your blueprint, what would you say about the, you know, this kind of divisiveness, and does it serve a purpose, or and if not, then how do we come together?
Okay, that's a great question. There's three books I just got through reading. I go through about 100-150 books a year. I've been doing this since I was a kid. I started out with the Hardy Boys, and reading was important to me because my mother or my parents made reading important to me. And same thing with my brothers. My two brothers, my middle brother is a minister. He's got two doctorate degrees and all the trailings that come with that, and my middle brother, or my youngest brother, is a Mensa. He's in Mensa, and he's got 2 degrees himself. So it's because our parents, especially our mother, stress reading early in life. But there's three books I would recommend, and if your audience have got a pencil and a piece of paper, I would suggest reading these three books to truly understand the dynamics of what's going on, the walls that have got to be overcome for us to move forward with true world change and national change and being in God's will. The first book is called Dark Money by Jane Meyer, and she gives through a history of how a handful of very, very wealthy individuals have developed a business plan and an apparatus of being able to, through the media and through world events, are able to they're able to create dramatic happenings. Such as the separation of wealth that we've experienced over the past 20 years. It was done. It was intentionally done, and it's well described in this book. The second book would be Pawns in the Game. It's how not only we but also our politicians are being utilized by these forces to produce the end result, fulfilling their agendas. And the third book I would suggest reading would be Tom Friedman's latest book, Thank You for Being Late. And he's talking about a three-faced storm that is hitting us now, aside from what we're talking about. The first is the artificial intelligence and the age of robotics, where we're displacing the need for human labor, and yet 70% of the world is unemployed. And a higher number of that are never really educated or even have an opportunity to even come close to living any semblance of a quality of life. And this is not being addressed with any massive world effort, either through the UN or even through the foundations like Bill and Melinda Gates or whatever. They're dealing with the some of the outfall, but the larger difficulty is that widening separation of wealth and the corruptive effects of having money. And I've met 11 billionaires in my life. And some are great people. They've got a great human social consciousness, and they do a lot of good for the world. And they help nonprofits, and they're in the arts and museums and education and the environment, and they're involved in trying to make this world better, or they are making this world better. But then you've got another group of people that have a lot of wealth that have done it nefariously, or they've done it by hook or crook, like the Bernie Madoffs of the world, where they've manipulated the system to their own benefit. But in negotiating oil contracts or precious metal contracts, as I've done in the past, I've seen the worst side of the dark side of greed and how money just warps that soft soul. I don't think anybody in this world was brought into this world to do bad things, but it's a learned trait, and it just carries over from generation to generation. We're going through a transition now where 65 families control more than half the world's wealth. And I was watching an interview on Charlie Rose last week or the week before, where he was interviewing Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, and they were talking about the challenges of wealth and what comes off of it and raising money for his foundation. And Warren Buffett was talking about one of his friends, he's a multi-billionaire, that has his kids sign blank income tax forms because he doesn't want them to know how much money they're going to be inheriting. So it's a prison within itself. You know, yeah, I mean, you just go on with this stuff. But the solution, first of all, comes into just working out of comfort zone with our Creator and do the best we can within our lives. And grow with that. And that takes a lifetime. It's not an overnight process. But in our homes and our families and community and social organizations or whatever, our answers to address some of the difficulties we have on a local basis, on a statewide basis, or a national basis. I'm involved with a foundation that raises through trust. It solicits and it obtains monies that and it acts as a designee to see that those monies are invested in smaller nonprofits in our geographical area to help those truly in need. It's not a handout. It's a hand up. We're into teaching people how to fish rather than just eat the fish. But if we just thought about a larger think tank. There's a lot of foundations out there that are involved in social work, but we need to set up a clearinghouse on a global basis, taking everything that's working in this world and assess how we can apply that globally. And through that, develop a sense of ideas and ways of approaching our difficulties. If it's poverty or if it's lack of jobs or whatever, there's 5.7 million jobs opening right now in the United States that are not being filled. We've got a president that's pledged to bring in new jobs. We can't fill what we've got.
Yeah. You know,
so it comes down to if the schools and the business community would just merge and companies just let the just let the school systems know what jobs are being open, either through retirement or through transitions or through acquisitions and mergers, how the dynamics are changing, and educate the student body into filling those needs. That opens up tremendous opportunities for anyone that wants to make an effort to get off their rear end and get out in the world and get their hands dirty, you know?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I often thought that if we could just shake up the world and let the pieces fall where the openings are, it would be a good fit, you know. But by the way, I do want to let people know that in a couple minutes we're going to take a short break. And if you would like to call in and ask Bill any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions you would like for me to pose to Bill, feel free to type them in, and we'll get to them right after the break. Okay, so, you know, what with the, you know, you talked about the income, the money disparity, the financial disparity.
Yeah.
And the need, you know, for us to be able to have the proper education, you know, to fit needs, you know, I mean, because automation is something that's going to continue, you know, to continue to happen. But there's going to also be a need for those to build the machines, you know, and create the machines. So, I mean, there's, you know, there are openings. The one thing that I kind of want to, you know, go back a little bit with is that, you know, that's this negativity and divisiveness. You know, right now, for me, it seems that this the angst that is kind of being is on display. Mm-hmm. To me, it motivates those people who would sit on the sidelines and not become involved. It gets people thinking about what their values are, getting the clarification of what their values are, finding out exactly what their beliefs are, what they want to stand up for, what they don't. You know, so to me, it seems it's a, for lack of a better, it's God's way of waking people up, you know. And so, you know, so in one way, it, to me, many things give me pause, you know. But then on the other hand, it's like the other side of the coin. It's like, okay, you know, this is what is necessary to maybe make that shift, that tectonic shift that we need in order to, you know, have better, you know, financial parity, you know, in the world.
Without a doubt, yeah, it's the same thing with the meltdown we experienced in 2008, 2009. 9.5 million American families lost their homes, and it was done for a lot of reasons. There was a lot of mistakes made on both the borrower and lender's sides to have that happen. But the people who lost their homes had their lives turned upside down, and they've had to adjust from that. And some have adjusted well. They roll up their sleeves and say, all right, what's next? That's their kind of attitude. What's next? Excuse me. And then on the other side, you've got people that go into the woe is me's and just give up. And the only way that we're either our best friend or our worst enemy by what we want to empower, getting back to what I mentioned earlier, we're going through that learning process. Sometimes we're rewarded with a tremendous pat on the back and a smile on God's face. And other times we get hit between the eyes with a sledgehammer saying, hey, wake up, guys. You're on the wrong path. You're here for the lifetime. You're going to be here for as long as you're programmed to be. And when it's time to go, it's time to go. But do you go with a smile on your face, or do you go with a sadness on your face from a life well lived or an opportunity lost?
Yeah, very much. Well, okay, let's go ahead and take that quick break. Again, everyone, if you have any questions, call in or type them in the chat room. And when we come back, Bill, I want to talk about, in the book you talk about emotion as being an important component of this, of our connection with that higher essence. So I kind of would like to talk about that a little bit and explore that, okay?
Surely, you got it.
Great. Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there, or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc., and we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide: books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Bill Gehringswald, and we're talking about his new book, Infinite Possibilities, A Spiritual Awakening. And again, his book is available from Amazon.com and also from BooleyBooks.com. And I do have direct links to both of those websites in the show page description. Okay, so with that, we're back, Bill?
You got it. We're here.
Got it. Okay, well, before we continue, I just want to say, Kay at Booley Books, B-E-W-L-E-Y Books.com, she's in the UK, and you're in Florida. So
yeah.
I have to ask, how did you guys connect?
Yeah, cause, you know, that's super. We'll go this way. I've written three books. My first book was called A Child's Legacy, and it was published back in 2004. And it was the aftermath of the horrendous debacle we went through in 9/11. And I question, here we are, a nation that's out helping so many others in the world. What have we done as a country to deserve the pounding that we got? And from that, through the research, we have not really had our hands clean when it's involved in foreign policy and some of our entrails that are tentacles that go out into the world. In this case, it was oil, and we really overturned and upset a lot of people in the Middle East from some of our past infractions.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not know that at the time that I was writing that. The book, it's interesting. For about 90 days after that horrendous day, you could feel a pall over a nation and people walking around in a daze like we've been sucker punched.
Right.
And I really thought that would be a wake up call. God's got many ways of talking to us, not only as individuals but also as nations. And when
mm-hmm.
we're in God's will, things work out right. Our Constitution and our Bill of Rights and our Founding Fathers went through a horrendous difficulty in creating the foundations of what made this country great. And we've been undermining that integrity and the moral responsibilities we have as Americans and upholding that intent. And we're falling apart because of that. The second book I wrote was called You, Me, and Everyone Else, and that was inspired by the meltdown of 2008-2009. And I really got into looking at the cause and effect of that entire process. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, you look at all the deregulation that went on from the Reagan years on, and it just basically opened the kitchen, chicken coop.
Yep.
For people to walk into that cage and start raping and pillaging and plundering. And the debacle of the meltdowns basically started in the late 80s when we had the SNL meltdown that cost the taxpayers a half a trillion dollars in bailouts. And instead of tightening up the regulations, they were loosened during the Clinton years. And I don't mean point fingers. I mean, he's a politician. He was involved in all of this. But he was doing what he thought was right for the country, I guess. But it also benefited a handful of people. And greed really kicked in during that period of time because none of the major offenders were placed in jail for breaking the laws. And there's a regulatory oversights where banks were to have a fiduciary responsibility to their depositors, and over $10 trillion switched hands in that short time period. And the people that lost their homes, that 9.5 million families that I mentioned earlier, pay the price. But also you had a lot of people that qualified for mortgages that should have never been qualified. But then we looked at the meltdown of Countrywide and the Enrons of the world from that, and you see how collusion and corruption just permeated our lives to point today where derivatives now, it's estimated it's $531 trillion of investments floating around that are not insured. And then I'm talking about trillion, I'm not talking about billion now. It's just blown out of proportion. Third book, the book that we're talking about, is, all right, we've got these problems. How do we get them straightened out? And it's far beyond any mortal to understand the much larger picture. And in prayer, I ask God to use me as a vessel. I'm just a messenger here, Robert. Mm-hmm. I turned over my being and my experience and as a business person, as a consultant, and dealing with people with money and dealing with people and even on a personal level not having money. So it's, again, these life experiences are all of surface to a point where this book is a result.
Yeah, the first of all, being a messenger. I mean, you know, we're truly all messengers, you know, through our individual life experience, you know, that's what we bring into play. That's kind of the setting, you know, of the stage, you know, all of the, the set, you know, and those are the things that we work from and what we can create, you know, and it's because each life is uniquely different, you know, it's kind of, I've often thought that the whole purpose of life, what God is doing is this, setting out, I'm going to see how many ways I can create unconditional love, and I'm going to set up all these different scenarios, and see which works good, which doesn't work, you know, and you know, so to me that's like the ultimate goal, you know, is that recognition of unconditional love, you know, and that you know. Yeah, and so, you know, I mean, how we get there, our different experiences, good, bad, and ugly, you know, those are all means through which we can hopefully, you know, get better at that purpose. And so, so getting back to Brewley Books, UK and you, so how did this connection happen?
I had my first book. I had 98 publishers refuse to publish A Child's Legacy, and finally one publisher came up and said, "Yeah, we're interested in publishing." And I said, "Yay!" It's interesting. Norman Vincent Peale, when he wrote Power of Positive Thinking, was turned down by almost 100 publishers, and he told his wife Ruth to not ever touch this book again, and he threw it in the trash can. She didn't touch it. She wrapped the whole trash can in brown paper and mailed it to another publisher, and that's the publisher that went on with his book. And he ended up selling over 15 million copies. So it's a trial and tribulation type process. The second book, You, Me, and Everyone Else, I had three contract offers, and I went with a Christian publishing house, Tate Publishing in Oklahoma City. But the timing was off on that. It just didn't resonate. If I look back, I would want to rewrite it to have more resonance. But it was a learning process for me. Mm-hmm. Now, the third book is what I look as a charm. It's a combination of both those books. But I had three contract offers on this book, two from some very large publishing houses here in America. But Bully, Kay Bully and I developed a back and forth over years' time, emails going back and forth. And I picked up on Kay's soul and her concern and her love and her spiritual maturity. And I said, and I put this all into prayer, and I was led to go with Kay because of that reason. Yeah. And she is a sweet, kindred, wonderful soul, and I'm very fortunate to have her and her small publishing house in my life.
Yeah. Well, you know, I deal with a lot of publishers and publicists. And this is my first connection with Kay, and I'm just impressed with her. I mean, she does exude that concern. She has a great follow through, you know. And I just, you know, for the people who out there who are author wannabes, or we have their, you know, this is a good example. The reason I brought up is this is a good example of, you know, you don't have to look within the confines of your own country, even, you know, to be able to have a publisher to get something out there, and that right connection can be anywhere in the world. So,
right, but you've got to follow your heart, and it's got to resonate. It's got to resonate.
Oh yeah.
And if it's not resonating, you've got to really, really sit back and really just allow the events to fall through or come together. You're talking about emotion earlier. It
right.
is so difficult to stay focused and to stay mentally and emotionally quiet in today's world where we're surrounded 24/7, 365. Social media and Twitter and YouTube and between everything else, we're so caught up in the moment that it's hard to just slow down and just take a breath and to just appreciate the day or just appreciate the moment or appreciate the persons that are in our life or being able to just have a conversation, even over the phone. We've got to realize that God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason, and that's to
right.
listen twice
mm-hmm.
as much as we talk, you know? But
yeah.
emotionally, we're just hit with so much negativity, and there's so much more that's on our plate. If I just looked at what's going on the world right now, we're in a urinating contest with China. We're in a urinating
mm-hmm.
contest with the Middle East. We're in urinating contest with Russia. Europe is now inundated with tremendous human mayhem as a spillover
mm-hmm.
from a lack of really bringing the Middle East to peace, which we should have done right after the Second World War. We could have been an instrument of just tremendous. Just developing tremendous peace and productivity in the world, but it was an opportunity that was lost. We got so caught up with our toys in the 50s and 60s and 70s. I'm from the year of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And believe me, those are enticing arenas, big guy. And,
uh-huh.
and so all of a sudden, you know, guy gets put on the back burner, and we get caught into making living and we got families to support and bills to pay and whatever, and we get caught up so much in the rush of the world that we're just not able to just be quiet and be silent and just feel that comforting presence of our Creator, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that the one thing that I've learned through the years is that, you know, when it seems that you know, I've had some very intuitive people on my show and people who have a strong belief in, you know, in the afterlife, in the spirit world. And the one thing that always, for me, always stood out was that when everything is said and done, what goes beyond this physical existence is the emotions of our life, the love that we create, and the animus that we have.
Well, look at the emotion that's come off of our last presidential election. I mean, you've got people
mm-hmm.
that are just making death threats. You know, it's all part of the insanity.
Right.
Understand that the two candidates we have, in my opinion, and it's my opinion only, are probably the two weakest moral candidates we've ever had in our nation's history. And it came to, and I'll take the heat on this if I have to. I know that I'm not being politically correct, But we did the best we could with what we had, and now we've got a president that has got tremendous talent, and all I can do is hope that we pray that he will grow into the responsibilities of the office, and some of his stances will be softened, and especially on the environment and education. His decisions in allowing coal miners, mine owners now to dump their tailings back into the waterways, this is just part of our insanity. And I live in the Orlando area, and between Orlando and Tampa, there's a small town called Bartow, and it's a mining community where you've got a number of mining companies, and I won't name them. You can look them up on Google if you want. But we just had a spill about 3 months ago of two and a half million gallons of toxic radioactive waste dumped into our aquifer. And we got the news media covered it for a day, and then it disappeared because the understand people, the population, people move to Florida, you know, for retirement, and they buy homes and they spend money at retail and whatever. So if they hear about that type of spill, it just affects everybody's cash flow. So that type of disaster has got to be addressed by our president's office, and if not by our president's office, who?
Yeah,
you know, regulation oversight has been weakened over the years to benefit the corporate profits and their bottom line.
Yeah.
But we're taking in the shorts.
And it seems like that's the trend. What's happening right now, even, you know, to make those restrictions even looser and to enhance the coffers of those who really don't have a need for that. The one thing that I really want to reinforce is that the emotional aspect of our life, that's where our connection to God, to that higher essence is. If we can on a daily basis strengthen that connection, then I think our actions will fall more in line with that love and compassion in humanity, you know, versus the other. So, you know, I guess what I kind of want to maybe, if you would mind, for the listeners who want to make their life happier and more fulfilling, and kind of more in line with what the Creator would like to see. I know that's personalizing and personifying him, but I mean more in line of what would best serve humanity. On a daily basis, what would you suggest? What are some actions or some kind of things that we could do that you would recommend for listeners to be able to strengthen that connection? And, you know, because some of these problems are huge, you know, and so,
yeah,
you know, it can be overwhelming to think that, you know, my little place here in Myrtle Beach, yeah, I can't do a thing, you know, about it. But can I?
Yeah. Matter of fact, just get in the mode of just praying and getting quiet. Develop the path of developing emotional and mental silence in your mind and in your body, and that can be done through breathing exercises. Or in this day and age, you've got to just shut off all electronic interference. I know we're addicted now. We're talking about how certain things can change a complete society. We've done that with the iPhone and instant communication, and people are addicted to Twitter and cell phone communication and texting and whatever. Just let your friends or your network know that you're going to take an hour or so, and you're just going to go offline. You're going to go offline and just shut that down. Now, if you're working, you've got to do this in the evening or over the weekend or whatever, because we're so dependent upon computer back and forth and whatever, and most of the jobs we have. But at the end of each day, or if you're caught in a traffic jam and you're just sitting in bumper-to-bumper traffic, just take a few moments and just go through a breathing exercise and just silence your mind. Once you do that, you go as you're being led. Just as long as you're not bringing harm to any other living creature, or you're not bringing any harm to any society. If you hear God told me to do this, or you're inclined to bring harm upon another person, step back. But that's not being of God. That's being caught up in your emotional responses, and we're surrounded with so much negativity today. It's so easy to get just caught up in that emotional outburst. Also, understand, you'll sense God in the warmth of your heart. And from this, from the warmth of the heart, it generates into the human consciousness that awareness. Listen to your heart rather than your mind at times when you're in communication with God or when you're in God's presence. And just pray for emotional and mental change in this world. As far as a larger situation, for those persons, and I don't know if there's any persons in your listening audience, but just through a conscious development, think about what would happen if we just set up a universal foundation that was addressing global problems, okay? If we just set up a scholarly institute that would just wage a battle of ideas for social reform and change, incorporating also the fact that some people that have a lot of money don't want things to change, all right? But each person can be reached. I don't care how calloused an individual is. There's somebody out there that can reach out an arm and put that arm around the shoulder of a young person or a child or even an elderly person as they're leaving this earth and just bring them comfort. And if we would do that, we'd change the course of history.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Bill, I knew this was going to be a very wonderful talk, and it has been. I really want to thank you for your time. I've enjoyed speaking with you.
Oh, both ways, Robert. Now, you know, as time goes on, perhaps we can do this some other time. I just hope that I haven't been too heavy in this conversation.
We could do
the fluff and stuff and talk about God's love and all this stuff. But I just want the listeners to understand that there are answers in this world, and God will provide those answers, and we can provide the manpower to have that happen.
Absolutely, yeah. Once that update comes out, maybe we can have you back and talk a little bit more, because, you know, you had some stuff about case studies, and we'll talk about the youth.
Yeah.
There's a lot of more things that we could talk about, so we'll definitely make that happen, okay? So when the update is done, you let me know, okay? Or have Kay let me know, okay?
You got it. That's a promise. Thank you so much, Robert.
Good. It's been my pleasure. Again, everyone,
My very special
guest has been Bill Gehringswell, author of Infinite Possibilities, A Spiritual Awakening. And again, his book is available from Amazon.com and also from BeweleyBooks.com. That's BeweleyBooks.com. And again, I do have direct links to both locations in the show page description. So, everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BITERADIO.ME. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.